our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day, the church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance, born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His Word and draws from it life and hope. Let us pray that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of His beloved Son and in the power of His Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lenten tide for us, so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite the congregation to kneel, sit, or stand as you are able. O Lord, O Christ, O Lord, O Christ, God the Father in heaven, God the Son, Redeemer of the world, God the Holy Spirit, be gracious to us. Be gracious to us. By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, in all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment. We poor sinners implore you to prosper the preaching of your word, to bless our prayer and meditation, to strengthen and preserve us in the true faith, and to give heart to our sorrow and strength to our repentance. To draw all to yourself, to bless those who are instructed in the faith, to watch over and console the poor, the sick, the distressed, the lonely, the forsaken, the abandoned, all who stand in need of our prayers, to give abundant blessing to all works of mercy, and have mercy on us all. To turn our hearts to you, to turn the hearts of our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and graciously to hear our prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. O Christ, O Lord, O Christ, O Lord, O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. We implore you to have compassion on the frailty of our mortal nature, for we acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mercifully pardon our sins, that we may obtain the promises you have laid up for those who are repentant. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let these ashes be a reminder to us that we are but dust. May they be a mark of our repentance. Bless us and keep us. May we keep this Lenten season in preparation for the joy of Easter. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Those who wish to have ashes on the forehead or the hand may come forward at this time. Dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. 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 From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. Dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. Dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. From dust you are, to dust you shall return. Congregation, again, to be seated, stand, or kneel for confession and absolution. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities for which I have ever offended, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated.
The first lesson is from Joel. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? When the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people, the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. The second lesson is from 2 Corinthians. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything.
I invite the congregation to stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Be to thee, O Christ.
We join together in speaking our statement of faith in a Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Congregation may be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin a series with the theme of the crucified king, and a text for the message is the gospel from Matthew chapter 6, which we just heard read, selected verses. And this passage includes Jesus' teachings from the Sermon on the Mount. And as we gather again to begin another Lenten season, we are reminded that Jesus will soon be concluding his earthly ministry on another mount, Mount Calvary. And so we gather with a sense of humility. The ashes being an outward sign of our inner reality, a contrite heart, repentance, a witness to our baptism, a people marked and redeemed by Christ, the crucified king. Not just any king, the king like no other, a king who's humble and unremarkable, yet perfect. Perfect for us in every way. As we look at this in contrast to King Solomon, we see King Solomon in all his splendor, his throne made of ivory and overlaid with the finest gold. The six steps leading up to his great throne had carved lions on both sides. At the back of the throne was a calf's head, a symbol of kingly might. He had elaborate armrests. The footstool was gold. Wise King Solomon truly built himself a glorious throne. But as magnificent as his throne was, the one who sat on it was even more impressive. You see, Solomon, this king of the Jews, was truly a king of glory, but nothing was more golden than what he spoke or what came from his lips. When God allowed the young king to ask him for anything, Solomon didn't ask for riches or a long life or for victories in battle over his enemies. No, he asked for wisdom to rule God's people. And God was pleased. Yet all that glory couldn't stop Solomon's life from coming to a most inglorious end. All that splendor and glory couldn't deal with the inglorious heart. A heart that was increasingly turning itself away from the word of the Lord and making him a tyrant. So while his lips maybe still poured forth wisdom, the way he lived made him no more the hypocrite. And another word for hypocrite, when you look at that, would be like actor. Someone who's being something that they're not really who they are. And we can read in Proverbs chapter 5, rejoice in the wife of your youth. And he taught this, but he had what, 700 wives? Again, in Proverbs 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold? But his greedy royal hands grasp as much gold as it could possibly gather. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, he taught in Psalm 111, but lived as though he feared everything but the Lord. A royal hypocrite indeed, an actor of sorts, if you will. Now, I'm glad I'm not like him, and that's probably what you're thinking, right? Yet consider on this Ash Wednesday as we gather what royal hypocrites or actors we've been in our lives. Did you recognize yourself in the gospel reading as Jesus spoke against the way of the religious hypocrites, the Pharisees? Perhaps you or I have done our share of posing for the camera too. Yeah. Sure, we've not gone out and sounded trumpets while giving to the needy like the Pharisees did, but maybe you or I have been known to blow our horn to others about other things like sacrificial giving. I give more than He does. Yeah, you've probably never stood on street corners and prayed to be seen like Pharisees did, but have you ever told someone, "I'll pray for you," and then didn't do it? Ouch. Ooh. Some folks fast during Lent, others don't, but you don't go about disfiguring your faces. But we might compare our sacrifices for Lent with one another to determine who's sacrificing more or less. Repent. There's a reason for the mark of mortality on our heads and on our hands. There's a reason these words first spoken to Adam were spoken during the imposition of ashes. Genesis chapter 3, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The reason is that inglorious, that self-centered heart of yours and mine that's always seeking that attaboy or that affirmation or acclamation from other people or the world or society. And with hearts seeking glory for self, we're not content for how God sees us, but rather what? We're looking at how others see us and how we measure up with one another. When the eyes of our Heavenly Father are the eyes that we would be concerned about, or should be, rather. Why might this be the case? That we would group ourselves with Solomon and Pharisees and other hypocrites and actors throughout the ages. And then why would our Heavenly Father come to us through Jesus? One reason. Our Heavenly Father sees what comes from our broken, sinful, wretched, and glorious hearts, and comes to us with eyes of mercy. He's gracious and merciful, abounding in steadfast love. What a verse from Joel that we hear in God's word, abounding, merciful. He loves giving rewards to those who confess their unworthiness. He remembers that you and I are dust, and to dust we shall return. But above all, he remembers his mercy and his promise to rescue sinners. He sees the wretched state that we are in and sends to us a king wiser than Solomon or any other king to help us. A much greater Solomon, the King of Kings, whose throne in heaven would have made Solomon's throne pale in comparison. Yet who left heaven to take on flesh and blood and come down and rescue sinners? And that king named Jesus, who is seated on the mountain teaching in today's gospel, his proper place would be the most glorious throne in heaven. But where is he? He's seated on the side of a mountain teaching with authority, pouring out words of gold, if you will, on this mount. He doesn't have splendor. He's basically teaching in the open air, in the dirt, among the rocks, in the grass. He's not surrounded by splendor and beauty. He's surrounded by 12 flesh and blood sinners whom he considers his sheep and has chosen to instruct them as well as those who are gathered to hear his teaching. And he's teaching about a kingdom that can't be earned, only received by faith in him. But he did more than teach. He fulfilled the very teachings. You see, he leaves the grassy mount so that his earthly life would be a walk to that other mount, that horrible mountainside on Jerusalem,
called Golgotha, or Calvary. And what drove him there was unspeakable love for you and for his heavenly Father. On the way there are no trumpets. His generous left hand, his generous right hand, always ready to help the needy in body and soul, to the point where they're stretched out and pounded in a cross. Even though he was God in the flesh, he didn't stand on street corners and impress people with prayers. He was content to continually leave the crowds to pray alone to his heavenly Father, so that his life would be our life, our righteousness. Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians, "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled for God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, that's what he's securing for us. This was a king who was willing to be driven out to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, who fasted 40 days, 40 nights, with no one knowing but the Father and the devil who tempted him. But he triumphed. He triumphed for you, for me. And that emaciated face, if you can imagine, is earning for you and me that radiance that can never be darkened, not even by death itself. This king is different from all other kings. While wise King Solomon built a throne for himself and his own glory, Jesus, the king, did no such thing. He was content with the throne that his Father had prepared for him. No, not a throne of ivory and gold, but a throne of wood covered with the finest blood of all, the Lamb of God's blood. Yes, upon this ugly wooden cross of a throne called the cross, he came to die a most inglorious death for us, most inglorious sinners. And to that ugly throne called the cross, he took sinfulness, rebellion, phoniness, all of the things that encompass us in our humanity. He took that to the cross and triumphed. And in the resurrection seat, you and I have a place there because of it. And so Jesus calls us to direct our attention to inward condition of our hearts. The shift in focus away from outward appearance of works to the inward condition of our hearts. And this isn't a comfortable shift. Yes, Jesus works the motives of our hearts, and through the work of the Holy Spirit brings about repentance and faith. An examination of hearts and minds challenges us to examine the life we have, a life won for us in Christ. And it is here where the battle of faith rages for us daily. It is here the confession of our faith, put there by God through his good gifts, is tested, it's refined. And that brings forth praise and glory to God. And so this Jesus, our King, is the King we needed, this crucified King. For you see, it's God's wisdom in the flesh, the Father's reward for you and me. The King with the perfect heart, who by his precious blood has atoned for all of your sins and given you entrance into an eternal kingdom you could never earn or merit. So ponder those golden words of the King that were spoken to you in this absolution as we began the service. I forgive you all your sins. In baptism, he has adorned you with his righteous splendor. He has crowned you with glory and honor. And so now, today, he calls you to come to his table and receive his precious body and blood, which imparts to you forgiveness of sins. It enlivens you with courage to be his kingdom of priests for the sake of your neighbor. Indeed, let us all remember on this day that you were dust, and to dust you shall return. But never forget, from that same dust you shall arise, because the love of the crucified King. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We continue with the prayer of the church. I invite the congregation to stand. Let us lift up our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all his people. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us for the sake of Jesus our King. As you are holy, make us pure and holy. As you are mighty, give us strength to turn from sin to live for you alone. As you are immortal, by the death and resurrection of our Savior Christ, lead us out of death to life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Have mercy upon your church. Purge it of all faithlessness, false teaching, uncharitable words, and unholy actions. Fill it with your Holy Spirit and use it to grant the joy of your saving help to all repentant sinners. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy upon all who are persecuted on account of your beloved Son. Keep them steadfast in faith, patient in suffering, persistent in prayer, and gracious in forgiving their enemies. Soften the hearts of all who despise Christ and grant them repentance and true faith. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy on this congregation. Cleanse it from everything that obscures your strong, saving love for us, for those to whom we minister. Grant that we may prefer nothing whatsoever to Jesus Christ and to sharing his forgiveness and salvation with others. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy upon the nations of the world and their rulers, especially we pray for own elected and appointed leaders. Lead them in the paths of righteousness, justice, and mercy. Help us all to work with one another according to your will. Never let us forget the needs of the poor, the widow, and the orphan, the dispossessed and unemployed, the sick and forgotten, the abused and the unjustly imprisoned. Give us the means and the will to ease their burden. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy on all who stand in harm's way in defense of life and liberty. Strengthen them in every virtue that increases concord, establishes safety, and protects innocent lives. Reunite them with loved ones and help them use their skills to serve their community in new ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Have mercy on all who suffer in body and mind and heart and soul, especially those whom we lift up to you this day silently in our hearts and minds. Refresh their spirits, renew their hope, and restore their joy. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, Jesus, our crucified King, wipe away the tears of those whose grief runs deep. Help us to help and encourage one another throughout this troubled life. Keep us steadfast in faith, constant in hope, and ardent in love. Lead us from death into life and love you have prepared for all whom you have redeemed through the passion of your Son, the Savior and Redeemer of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your crucified Son, Jesus, our King, our Christ and Lord. Amen. We continue with the presentation of the offerings. They may be placed in the plate as you enter and exit the building and may also be mailed to the church office. At this time, we sing together the offertory.
from thy presence and take not
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray as our Savior has taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament shed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
That takest away. Thank you.
invite the congregation to stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Thy word, for thy unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that out of your mercy you would strengthen us through this same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Conclude with hymn 423, Jesus, Refuge of the Weary, printed on the back of your bulletin.